Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. I love my show. Anyway, welcome to episode 6 of Looking for My Give a Fuck, hosted by me, yours truly, Shirley E. Shepherd, and all those other degrees I have after my name. Oh my gosh. I don't know if you guys got an opportunity to listen to my show last week. It was very, I don't know, I just had a moment of silence, a moment of, I guess the way I was explaining it last week was that we walk around muffled, you know what I mean? And because there's so much going on and it's justifiable that we kind of have this muffling thing, muffling, I think I made up a word, it's kind of justifiable, but I was in a situation last week where I was completely... there's nothing I could do. And then all of a sudden, I guess it was time for me to understand what being still and listening. And what was so nice about it is that when we are, some people call it a God shot. Some people call it revelation. I don't know. Some people talk in tongues when they experience this. I don't have that type of religious background to justify what I experienced. I just have the spiritual thing. And as you guys know, I've done several shows, and my mother calls me a motor mouth, and everyone that knows me knows I love to talk. So for me to have a moment in my life where I wasn't speaking, I wasn't talking, and I was actually listening, I heard something so beautiful. And that beautiful, those beautiful words I heard were just, they weren't even words. They were just this feeling. And I'm just trying to describe it just in case some of you come across this and you kind of just push it away. It was love. I have had up until, I think, last week, a different definition about love. And that's probably another show within itself. But love was this feeling of just everything being the way it's supposed to be, because that's the way it was supposed to be. There were no emotions, no this, no that, no attachments, no... In fact, I was waiting in line in a line that was 10 minutes long, and I only had 5 minutes to take care of that business. So it was just this euphoria of not just... It's not just like, oh, let's get drunk and forget about it. That type of euphoria. Been there, right? But it was more of just, be still, be still. And last week I made reference to people go to yoga and meditate to be still. And I have tried all that. But to try to get to a place that I'm not familiar with, it's pretty hard, you know. So hopefully you get to experience the stillness, and that means this quietness where the muffling really comes down and you can really hear the soul of yourself or the soul of the world. And you'll want to put yourself in positions or in regular positions to hear it. That's why, you know, yoga now, I can go into yoga because I know what I want to feel. I know what's underneath. So yoga to me, or meditation to me now, has substance. It has something. And we all are able to do that, but we're muffled. We are absolutely muffled. And I think society, and I, you know, 56 years later, I'm wondering, who's doing this? Who is causing this havoc? What is causing this havoc? Why are we walking around muffled and with earphones on? Why can we not have conversation? Why do we have to socialize on social media, whether it's to compliment or discourage or to even incriminate or to try to destroy? What is that about? Why? And I ask that question a lot because I don't have a religious background. My mother, I believe, she's Catholic, but she never practiced it, you know, so I didn't even know until like maybe 10 years ago when she had the beads praying for me. 15 years ago. I'm like, what are those for? She goes, baby, if you only knew. Anyway, I have a lot of amazing friends that are Christian, and I had always asked them, I'm like, well, why would God create this world? And, you know, again, there's these justifications that God, X, Y, Z, he's coming, it's going to be okay. And it was hard for me to understand that. It was hard for me to understand. No, my brother, my older brother, Jay, hope he doesn't get mad, I put his name out there. When he heard about the story of Jesus, you know, dying for our sins and you know, being sacrificed by God, my brother, that was the end of his religion, because he said, that's a mean father. That's a mean story, right? But, you know, my thing is, God went out of his way according. This is me, and if I'm offending anyone, just turn me off, okay? Because I don't mean that. I'm not meaning anything to be defensive or rude. Or I think the word defensive is proper. I'm not doing anything. I'm just trying to get understanding. How about that? So I'm thinking, if God created the world and then brought his son and sacrificed his son for this world, as I look at this world now, it's like, is this what he sacrificed for? And I know there's this thing where the devil comes in and he takes over. All I'm looking for is God to do what he did for his son and to come down and basically spiritually save us. Spiritually save us. That brings me to my, I have a couple topics today. That brings me to one of my topics. And you know what? Before I do that, well, let me just get into the topic. Maybe at the end of the show, I want to share some really great quotes from the book. You guys know this show is based on The New Earth by Eckhart Tolle. He has some really great quotes, and I wanted to share a few, so hopefully I'll do that at the end of the show, because there's two topics right now I want to cover. One topic is there an advantage to growing older, or is that a disadvantage? And number two, I just came across this with my son's goddaughter, and the situation was she was dating someone, and I said, well, how's everything now? Well, we're friends now. We're not dating. So what were you before you were dating? Nothing but ego. I love that, right? Because we all think about that. But that's second half. Let's do first half. Aging. Is it worth it? And the reason I say that is I'm getting older. You know, I'm 56, if you guys don't know that. And I've seen lots of changes. You know, I see changes happening. I see that the body has to adjust to just like crazy stuff. COVID, boom, shut down. Okay, open. Go to work. Don't go to work. Do this. You know, our bodies are constantly shifting and the world is constantly changing and things are changing. But there is also another thing is I and mother might get a little upset, but I have to use this. My mother is 80-something years old. I don't know. After 80, we just don't really talk about those other numbers. And I'm even thinking about my Aunt Joanne. I love you. I hope you're listening. In their years, they are experiencing or seeing things that could be very painful, I'm assuming. I know for sure that mother and Aunt Joanne were involved in the, you know, Black Power, the 60s, 70s. Yeah, some fun in the 70s, I'm sure, the 80s. Marriage and with children and more. But from Roe v. Wade to even looking at what the Democrats are doing. My mother is a staunch Democrat. Families are staunch Democrats. I swear to God, they know that I'm a Republican as of very recent. But even looking at the Democrats right now in the political party, you know, the scheme as we're watching every day, if you look at CNN, MSNBC, One American News, Newsmax, all those things that I tend to look at, Fox, I watch that too. You will find that, even this is my mother's words. What are the Democrats doing? I don't know. So, sorry, I'm just reading a text. So they're starting to say, wait a minute, were we a little bit bamboozled? People that have gone to church. And now that they're realizing that there could be a relationship between the Democratic Party and the church and where we are today. Was there a conspiracy to keep us down and hoping instead of rising and growing? The other thing is I watch my mom tearfully accept the fact that Roe v. Wade has been overturned. Now, I'm of age where I ain't worried about abortion, right? Can't get pregnant anymore. However, before my son, I took it for granted. I could go to that clinic and knock it out. And, you know, I'm being real honest when I said I never even thought about there being a problem with that happening. But I recently, through speaking with Mother, and understood that there was a fight, there was a history, there was something that women stood for. And she watches that kind of go away. She's watching, well, not watching, she's Mother, again, my mom. We're having conversation, and she's thinking to herself, wait a minute, we have a completely different opinion on things. We could go blows, right? But even after we get rid of the emotions and the ego and the id and all those things, Mother even agrees, yeah, something's not right. Mother went one day, I would say in California, March 9th, March 14th maybe? I don't know exactly when the world shut down. She went from actively having a really fun, you know, life, doing a whole bunch of things, to the world shutting down. And it broke her. She thought, is this really happening? And she honestly believed the government, and, you know, she can, and she did everything she possibly could to safeguard herself, and she didn't get COVID when it was called COVID. My mother had COVID in 2019, November and December. She almost died. If it wasn't for my sister, who ended up at the hospital with my mom. Let me go back for the family that may be listening. Mother couldn't breathe because of November. She took herself to the hospital. She does that all the time. By the time she got to the hospital, they were giving her, oxygen treatment. Somehow, my sister, who's 15 miles away and in traffic, gets to my mom within 5-10 minutes. It's amazing. I mean, you know, of course, I'm putting extra on it, but that's about how fast she got there. And when she did, my sister has a son, Jacob, just putting those out there. And, you know, Jacob has asthma. A lot of black folks have asthma. I'm assuming asthma treatment saved a lot of COVID people. Anyway, my sister said, I don't think she needs oxygen. I think she needs an asthma treatment. And they said, no, my sister said, you better give her an asthma treatment. And after 2 or 3 asthma treatments, Mother was better. She could not breathe. She could not breathe at all, which was the number one sign when COVID was out there killing people. She explained that she didn't think she can get over to be the next breath. It was horrifying. And again, Tiffany came and knocked it out. So when COVID came about, I thought, why don't they just do simply, you know, asthma treatment? Well, who knows? So, as you know, I live with my mom, so Mom really protected herself. I mean, even when we came in, we had to take baths, we had to do this, we had to do that. Well, then all of a sudden, I'm like, I don't want to do the vaccination because I don't believe in it. But my mom said, you know, maybe you don't, but I don't want to get sick again. So I, you know, I had to get the shot, and it was terrible. But then after that, I kind of watch Mom. Her everything just kind of shifted. And sometimes she'll just sit there, and she's in good spirits, and she'll cook, and she'll do all that. But her belief in society has shifted. And she's saying to me and others, you know, is this going backwards? What were we doing? What happened? And why am I bringing that up right now? Remember, this whole show is about looking at our reactions to things, or how we end up feeling or acting a certain way. It's by default, so on and so forth. So Mother and Aunt Joanne and Uncle Kenny, when he was alive, rest in peace, and my grandma, my Mimi, Grandma and Mimi instilled certain things in Aunt Joanne and my mom and Uncle Kenny. And a lot of us in our family have those same beliefs, thought processes, or, you know, for instance, everyone can cook. Don't even look at me. That doesn't work. And everything that my mom believed in by default, remember I said, you know, all of a sudden you react to something, you know, And then you look back and why am I reacting to this? And you say, oh, my, it's that because grandma did this or grandma did that. So our automatic reactions to life have all shifted. And, you know, I'm 56, as I continue to say, and I'm even having a hard time saying, wait a minute, you know, mom said do this and do that and do that. But today it doesn't work. So the question kind of becomes, is getting older an advantage or disadvantage? And if one feels it's a disadvantage, and I pose this to my mother, how do we shift that? What do we do? Tune in next week, because she hasn't answered me. Oh, that was good, huh? Yeah. Okay, so issue number two is all about the ego. Ooh, I love the ego. The ego is just so ignorant. No, I don't love the ego. The ego is so, now that I know what the ego is, it's so embarrassing. Sometimes when I default into my ego, I have to laugh at myself. I'm like, oh my God, that was so ego-driven. So embarrassing. The ego will put you in some really bad situations. I'm sorry. Anyway, again, I'll reiterate that number two topic today was my Dirk's goddaughter. I'm not going to say her name because I don't know if she wants to be heard. Anyway, I just happened right before the show. I was getting something to eat before the show, and I was asking about her and her significant other, and she's old enough to have a significant other, 2021 maybe. And not a single, well, a boyfriend, and she said to me, well, we're in a good place now, and I said, oh, that's great, you know, because we've talked in the past about him, and she said, well, because we're in a place of friendship. I'm sorry, I had to laugh. Not just that, her saying that, but even me, my ego just went, doing, doing, dumbass. I've done the same thing before. I really go into that. How many of us have been in what we call love, and then when we break up, we're like, okay, let's be friends, and we realize that when we broke up that we can't even be friends because we weren't friends, but we claim we were in love. You know, it's funny, when we get in relationships or start talking to someone, whatever, the process is getting to know them. Have you ever noticed that? I'm going to get to know this person. And then you think you know the person or learn the person, and then all of a sudden you're in love. This whole friendship part just goes away. And then when you break up, well, let's be friends. Well, wait a minute. I don't even know what that looks like. I don't want to be a friend. By that time, the ego's like, fuck a friend. I gave you my heart. I gave you my soul. I gave you everything. It's funny, but it's not funny. Well, it's funny again. Because that happens. We fall in love. We think we're in love. Remember that ego? We think we're in love because this is what it looks like to us. Has anyone ever posed to someone that you care about what love looks like and then to hear them when they respond? I'm going to give you a couple of responses that I have heard. I'm not ready. I don't want to be in love. I'm good on love. Yeah, not now. I've been hurt. I'm not looking for that right now. And what do I hear? Okay, he'll fall in love with me. He'll be ready because of me. Oh, I can change that he's not. Okay, I'm going to give everyone just a little advice. When someone says they're not ready, they're not ready. Period. There's no ifs or ands about it. They're just not ready. When someone is ready for love, and again, it's hard for me to say what that looks like because I've tried to force it. Let me go back into my son's father. He was ready. I was ready. Boom, knocked it out. And we had a son. I mean, Juan was perfectly planned and all good. And when we broke up, we couldn't be friends because we just didn't like each other after we broke up. I think we might be a little better at friendship right now. I don't even know. We don't care about friendship because I think we were friends beforehand, and we just didn't like each other after our relationship together. But honestly, you can't change someone. And I know everyone's like, oh, please, you're just old and you're, you know, whatever. No, 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 no. I've had some great relationships. In fact, all of my can't get it out. See, that means the ego didn't want me to admit it. I have had great relationships. I've ruined every relationship I ever had. And I did that because of my ego and my insecurities and all those things. So if I can give anyone any advice whatsoever, it would be hear a person when they say something. How come if our girlfriends say, I don't like purple, we respect the fact they don't like purple? If mom says, I don't like tuna on Tuesday, we respect mom doesn't like tuna on Tuesday. But when a man says, I am not ready, or when a woman says, I am not ready, we don't accept that. We think we can change that. Why? That's because it's the ego. It has to be the ego. I want that. I'm going to get that no matter what, because I get tingles. I like these tingles, and that person's going to continue to give me those tingles. And so when you break up with these people or whatever you're doing with these people, it's not you. It's your ego. And that ego is powerful. And that ego will make you hold on tight. And then things happen from there. Ultimately, you get over that situation or, you know, worse things can happen. Men can become obsessed. Women can become obsessed, whatever the case may be. I have done that in my recent friendships and people, I'm not ready, I don't want to do this, don't want to do that. And then it wasn't until, I would say, a year ago, honestly, where I started understanding my ego was leading my, you better stay because, no, I care about you and you need to stay in my life because I like the way this feels, right? Ego, ego, ego. It wasn't till, I would say about a year now, that I can honestly look at some of those relationships and really look at them for what they are. And hopefully, at some, I'm reaching out to actually apologize for some of my actions, or just nothing, I wouldn't say nothing more, but learn to be a friend and be supportive and not have anything based on conditions. One person I dated who was, oh my God, hardcore dude, I mean, what I mean by that, he was emotionally balanced and just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And he was a person in the industry, so I won't, you know, of course use a name or anything. But every day now, since like the past couple of months, I can listen. He has a radio show called, I don't know if I'm allowed to say it. I guess I can, the J.K. Network. It's on every day. It's a blog talk radio show. You should look it up. It's really, really funny. It's really good, but it's hardcore. I mean, all the co-hosts are just at it, and they just go for it with each other or topics. And it's like, if you are a weenie, don't even chime in. It ain't going to happen. But what I admired most about the show is that my friend has never changed since I've known him for like 30 years. And the times I wanted him to change, like, be more emotional, be more of this, he's like, that ain't happening. I got to be me. As a result of being who he is and staying within his true person and true purpose, he repurposed his life. And now he's doing something even greater than the entertainment industry. And that's because he didn't get emotionally caught up. I mean, I think if emotions hit him, he probably wouldn't know what to do with it. No, I'm just joking. Everyone has emotions. But he knows when to insert them and when not. And he knows definitely this world is a game, so he just figured that he's already, it's like, he's a great, I think he probably plays chess, but I know for sure, dominoes, whatever. If any game that you can play, that you can outplay other people, you know the game. And, you know, never let them see you sweat. I even touched on it last week where a lot of people in general, but I just know my black community, so I'm just going to use this as an example. We are not, our emotions go up and down. You know, we need emotional stabilizer. We really do. And for whatever reason, it could be because our grandma and great-grandma go back to slavery. It doesn't matter. We have our emotions. And they're not stabilized. We go up and down and up and down and up and down. And that's not a bad thing. That's just who we are. So if any of you find that you have emotions that are up and down, which I know we all do, please reach out to someone and get some type of help, whether it's mental, you know, it's not really mental illness. We can call it mental illness, call it whatever the fuck you want. After COVID, I'm certifying everyone in the world has a mental illness. There you have it. COVID fucked everybody up. That's not right. There are other things you can get for a mental stabilizer or emotional stabilizer. There are medications that you can get or herbalists. My best friend is an herbalist, so I'm on some teas, and it really, really helps to deal with your emotions. A lot of times, you know, people deal with emotions, smoking weed, doing this, doing that, that's fine. I just happen to be in an industry that's a very difficult industry. The legal profession's painful. Doing shows and doing all these other things I do, I'm always being attacked by people that like me or don't like me, and I can get emotionally all caught up. Living with my ego leading, that'll really fuck your emotions up, right? So I've been very, very up and down up my whole life. And now with these teas I'm taking, I still experience everything I did prior to the teas. It's just that I just don't get all crazy with it. I'm able to stabilize and deal with what's in front of me. If you don't work a stressful job or your life is real good and you don't need it, that's fine. But most of us are trying to figure out every day we get up in the morning how to make it, only because, in my opinion, we all know that somebody can push a button and change our lives. That's a little scary. Change our day-to-day. That just happened recently. Let's not forget that. So going back to relationships and love and friendships and all that, keep in mind a lot of times when we do get involved, it's the ego. We don't even know what love is because we haven't even defined it. Our love is based on what someone told us or a story or whatever it may be. We never ask the other person, what does love look like to you? You'll be pleasantly surprised that most people don't have a definition for love. How can you love someone when they don't have a definition to accept the love that you love, because they don't even know what you love, and you don't know what you love? You know what I mean? It's just all stupid. It's not that men and women or same sex, it's not that we're not trying to work it out. It's just that we're making assumptions based on that ego. This whole book, A New Earth Awakening of Your Life's Purpose, Eckhart Tolle, that ego, why is it so prominent? Why? We'll go into that, you know, another episode. But we make assumptions. Assumptions are based on what? Our concepts that are developed by what? Our exposure to what? Culture, family, blah, 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 blah. And so by the time we reach out to someone else, we're expecting them to comply with how we react to certain things. And we don't even know why we react that way. It sounds complicated to undo all this stuff, but it's not that complicated. It really isn't. If you want love, learn love. If you love someone else and you think you do, ask them what they love. If they ask them and give them the right to say, I don't love you, give them the right to write their own book, their own story. You were a chapter, but you were not at the end of the chapter of marriage or whatever you're looking for. Give people what they need individually, not based on what you need egotistically. I have made those mistakes with lovers, my child, my mother, my family, and my friends. Probably my enemies too. We just have those two. I projected what I haven't even properly defined, but I projected this ego that was preset on everybody else to please me. And I want to add this. I have a minute left. I was looking for this love, and it came. It was right there. And you know what? I couldn't see it. But now that I'm understanding and I'm kind of breaking apart things, what you want presents when you know what you want. And the person, if this is relationship-wise, and the person that you want it with are on the same page. But we never know because we never ask, and we never get it together because that's just the way this world is. But I'm doing this show, and we're going to figure it out. I'm going to change the world, right? No, I'm probably not going to do all that. But I have 21 seconds, so I'm going to basically say, hey, you guys, if you're in love, the other person and find out what they're thinking and try to work through that. Let's do that. We need more love than we need separation. Okay, until next week, I'm signing off and reminding you to make good memories and have a great day, great week. Bye.